Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you very much for your word. Thank you that the Bible is living and active. Through it, you always accomplish the purposes for which you sent it. Through your word, you nourish us, your people, and equip us to serve you. Particularly as we think of this topic of prayer, would you nurture in us a prayerfulness that we, like Cheryl, who we've heard from earlier, would be disciplined in our prayer. Let us be men and women of faith who devote ourselves to prayer daily, who give our time and our energy to ensure that we bring all things before you and lay all things before the throne. We want to pray that our prayer life would be characterized by a confidence in your love and sovereign power. And we'll see the implications of that as we go through these verses. But bless us in this time and equip us in prayer, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, you ready for me to go then, Mike?
Yeah, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Well, my name's Richard. I have been to you before. It's 2 or 3 years ago since I last came. I work in the furniture and flooring industry, running my own business. And I go to Great Shelford Free Church, which is a Baptist church in Great Shelford, but I live in Whittlesford.
That's good, Richard. We'd just love to hear from you. Take us through those verses.
Okay. It's a difficult time for us all, isn't it? And even though things are getting easy, I'm not sure that we're finding it any easier ourselves. There's a lot of anxiety around. And when I looked at these verses, I felt that in here, in this passage, we've got three great things to help us with anxiety. And I know our theme is prayer. I'll come on to that. But let's think about the answer to anxiety and what Paul has here to teach us. I love Corrie ten Boom. Some of you may have heard of her. She was a Jewish lady who was taken into the concentration camps during the Second World War. She was a Dutch lady, but she was taken into the camps for helping Jewish people. And she has a lot to say about all sorts of things that I find very helpful. She says, "Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength." That's what anxiety does for us. The world's catching up with us, you know. The last couple of years, I've noticed an awful lot being written about gratitude. You may have read the gratitude diaries where somebody recommends that you stop every day and try and write down three things to be grateful for. Well, Paul was teaching that to the Philippians all those years ago. He said, learn to rejoice, learn to be grateful, have what they now call an attitude of gratitude. And think of some of the old songs. In the Salvation Army, I used to sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. One of the keys to overcoming anxiety is to learn to rejoice in the Lord, to learn to be grateful to him for all that he continues to do for us. And when we learn to be grateful, then we learn to trust more, because we're reminding ourselves that what God has done in the past, he can continue to do for us. And when he makes promises, he keeps them. Here's a couple of verses in Psalm 94. It says this: "When I said my foot is slipping, Your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy. That's great, isn't it? And that follows it nicely in to this passage that we're reading, where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It's repeated because it's important. What else can we see? Well, the obvious answer, number two, is prayer. We need to learn to pray. In verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Why do we pray? If God knows what we need before we ask, why do we ask him? That's a question that's puzzled lots of people over the years. And there are lots of different answers to that. But one of the things just to remind ourselves of this morning is that when we pray, we're actually showing that we know who provides for us. It's Father's Day. Our dads provide so much for us. And if we want to ask him for a biscuit, in a way, we're acknowledging he's the one who controls the biscuits, or at least has to pay for them usually, or mum too. When we pray, we are reminding ourselves that God is the one who made us and who provides all our needs. I've been reading a book recently. Some of you may have read it, by Tim Keller. And he says, anxiety is a daily statement to God saying, I don't think you have my best interest in mind. He also says in that book, prayer is continuing a conversation that God has started through his word and his grace, which eventually becomes a full encounter with him. And I'm not going to read you the whole book, but let me just give you a third quote, because this is a good one too. The Spirit, even when you do not know how to pray, takes your core prayer and prays as you should be praying before the throne. When you struggle in prayer, you can come before God in confidence that he is going to give you what you would have asked for if you knew everything he knows. He does care, and he loves you boundlessly. Wow, that's a great book. And that's some really encouraging thoughts there about prayer. What's my third point? Well, we've had be grateful, learn to rejoice in the Lord. We've had pray. My third point is, don't think about crocodiles. I mean, seriously, for the next couple of minutes, I don't want you to think about crocodiles. You can think about anything else, but don't think about those really long, thin creatures with their enormously sharp teeth and their really long jaws. And don't think about those two little bobble eyes that peek up out of the water when they're looking for their prey. And all you can see is their eyes and their nostrils. And don't think about that scaly skin that makes wonderful handbags and shoes. And what are you thinking about right now? You're all thinking about crocodiles, aren't you? Because I've not stopped talking about them since I said, don't think about crocodiles. And here's the key. See, a few years ago, my wife and I took a holiday, and we left the children behind. We left them with grandparents, and we felt a bit guilty when we came back, even though we'd had a great time. So the following year, we really splashed out, and we took them to Egypt. And we started in the south, and we traveled up to the north. And when we got to Luxor, we treated ourselves to a ride in a hot air balloon. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a ride in a hot air balloon. It's amazing. You get into a big basket, and we all had our own little compartments within this basket. There were the burners up above, and the pilot would pull something like an old-fashioned toilet chain, and the flames would roar up into this huge, great, multicolored balloon. And before we knew it, we were slowly lifting off the ground and we were drifting over the Valley of the Kings that's famous for all the ancient relics. And there were, oh, 8 or 9 other balloons in the air quite close to us. And it's amazing how much control the pilot was able to have. And in fact, when it was time to land, the one rule was he was not allowed to land in any field of crops, because the Nile is very fertile. The whole Nile Valley, it's known as the breadbasket. It's where all the food comes from in that country. And in order to land, he had to steer this balloon down across flooded fields, and there was the ground crew waiting on a jetty, and he had to steer right down low over the water so that these guys could catch the basket, walk it down the path so that we weren't near the water anymore, and then pull the balloon down and bundle it up as they went so that it didn't touch any of the farmers' crops. And as we came down low over the water, I realized that river is full of crocodiles. And you haven't been thinking about crocodiles all the while I've been talking about hot air balloons. You see, point number 3 is think about the right things. What does he say? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Don't think about crocodiles. Don't think about the things that will distract us from what God wants us to know. Don't think about the things that will cause us anxiety. When we pray, we take them to him and we leave them there. And he promises that he will give us the peace that passes all understanding. Think about the right things. So there you are. 3 keys to anxiety. The first is that we should rejoice and be thankful. The second is that we should pray. And the third thing is we don't think about crocodiles. We think about all the good things that God has done for us. And I'll leave you with this thought from Corrie ten Boom. She says, the wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and enter God's realm where everything is possible. He specializes in the impossible. Nothing is too great for his almighty power. Nothing is too small for his love. Amen.
Amen. Would you pray for us, Richard?
Certainly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that there are so many good things that we can focus on that you have done for us. Lord, we can count our blessings. And when we do, we have confidence to know that your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us is absolutely true. Lord, as we face this week, and maybe there are things on our minds that are causing us anxiety or worry or concern, help us to learn how to pray and to leave these things with you and to walk confidently in your strength. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.